Hi, good afternoon. My name is Javier Gonzalez. Today is Sunday, May 5th, 2019. I'm recording this interview in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm speaking with Mr. Lupe Martinez, who is a professional colleague of mine for many years. So Mr. Martinez, can you share with us your farm worker background?
My farm worker background? When I was born in Corpus Christi, Texas, back in 1945, our family were migrant farm workers. So they had been migrating, working in agriculture for many, many years. So when I was born, I was just born to a family that had already been migrating to countries.
Back then, as you were doing the farm work with your parents, mm-hmm. what were your aspirations of growing up?
Well, I enjoyed eating, so I guess we just worked in the fields because that was the kind of work that was available for us. But it wasn't until probably maybe when I was in my early teens that I decided that working in agriculture was not for me. In fact, I remember one of my mom's friends asked me, says, Lupe, what is you? She asked me the same question you just asked me. And I says, you know, well, what I like to do is to work in an office with a white shirt and a tie, where it's nice and clean and air-conditioned. Those are my aspirations.
Was there a particular incident or a particular time that mm-hmm. you said, okay, I'm gonna work towards that position of a clean white shirt and tie yeah. in this environment?
There was an incident that happened among many, but there's one incident in particular that I do remember. There are 10 children in a family. There were 10 children in my mom and dad. You know, so I had 12 people in the family. And in my family, I was number 5. But I was the one that did the translating. I was the one that would manage the finances for the family, pay the bills, etc., etc. So when we got to Minnesota one time, in those cases, they used to have a field man. The field man was the liaison between you and the employer. And I remember the field man was giving our family a really hard time about where we're going to be assigned, where we're going to work, that type of housing. We ended up in a chicken coop, and we ended up working with a particular farmer that we were not really fond of. So from that day, I said, you know, we were totally mistreated as workers. And I said, someday I want to be able to deal with this kind of situation for others that are going to follow me. So that was a turning point in my life.
And do you feel you have accomplished that?
I don't know if I have. When people say to me, you know, what are the problems of farm workers now? What are the problems of farm workers in the past? We still have way too many problems that we used to exist in the past. Now, have we been able to accomplish everything that needed to be done? The answer is probably no. But had we not tried to advocate for change, things probably could have been worse.
Along those same lines, can you share with us what your biggest challenge as an advocate for migrant farm workers has been?
Today or during the years?
During the years.
I think the biggest challenge for just about anyone who advocates for a particular cause is trying to get people to get to understand what the plight of the farm worker was and is. Try to convince them that they need to be informed about what the situation is. Hopefully advocate for change. Some people will say, you know, now we understand the problems, I think I can help. There are people who will say, you know, big deal, you know, so there's a problem, you know, we got other things to worry about. So it's always trying to have people change their minds or at least educate people in terms of what they really ought to be doing.
As an advocate for this particular population, what has been, number one, your greatest satisfaction, mm-hmm. and number two, your greatest disappointment in the progress that this movement has made?
Well, on the part of successes, I think that when we look at our own particular agency, we're probably one of the very few migrant serving agencies that are still in existence today from the early 1960s. This afternoon, you're gonna hear some people who were in the farmer group movement that had some successes and some failures, right? In our case, I think when we were able to make some changes in the state of Wisconsin, for example, on worker protections, field sanitation, et cetera, And we were able to get some state legislation to provide protection for farm workers. That was a huge accomplishment for us. And then, of course, some of the disappointments, of course, is that some other parts of the country have not been able to do the kinds of things that, like Cesar Chavez and Arturo Rodriguez and United Farm Workers have done in California. So some states are much more ahead than others.
Do you feel that you have made any personal sacrifices? And if so, if you can share one of those in as you progress in your chosen path as an advocate for
the biggest farm workers. The biggest for me, I think, is that I'm on my second marriage right now. And my kids, as they were growing old, dad was not always there, mom was. So that was one of the biggest sacrifices that, but my kids see that as something and say, you know, we know you were hardly ever home. Somehow we managed to survive, but we're stronger because of that.
Great. As you know, we are in need of young blood in this movement.
Yes.
With your experience, what's the best advice that you could give?
Mentor a young person. At any given time, I will have at least 5 mentees. There was one of them is here today at this conference, actually 2 of them, and I have others around the country. And I always encourage people who are about my age or just beyond middle age to say, always take a young person or several young people under your wing and mentor them.
Wonderful. And lastly, as we look to younger leadership and innovative leadership, what challenges do you foresee for those new leaders coming into this movement?
Well, a lot of those young people are fresh out of school. Sometimes when we would talk to the young people about Cesar, they thought we were talking about a boxer. And we kept saying, no, not that gentleman. The gentleman that worked in agriculture, the preparer of the United Farm Workers. So somehow they're not picking up these kinds of things in schools. So they need to be able to pick them up from people like you and I who have been in part of the movement.
Right, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, I misspoke, this is the last one. What has been the best advice that you have received in your professional career or even personal, and from whom?
I've had several mentors. When I first started at UMOS, I had the CEO of the organization, the executive director at that time, the field operations person, and a field operations supervisor, where basically they were saying, don't think of this as a job. If you have the kind of background that we all have, which is farm worker background, you know what the struggles were and what the struggles are now. So try to see if you can do something about it. So don't think about yourself, think about others. And I always have this little quote that think about the people that you're serving as though they were part of your family, your mom, your brother. Whenever your relatives comes in for services, you want to give them the red carpet treatment. If you don't know them, well, you know, they'll get something else. I'm always saying treat them all like family. And I think that you can always get the job done that way.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you for your leadership and commitment and sacrifice to the movement.
Thank you so much, Camila. Thank you very much, madam.